Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for every opportunity we have, every day He provides us with, to use the grace that He's given us to minister His word, to live the life of the Lord before the world, and to hear our prayers and of faith, and to help us win the lost and bless those who love Him, those who desire to know Him. I thank God for every opportunity. And I fully intend not to waste one of them. God is mightily moving by His Spirit. The Lord can daily, He can use the daily things that our daily faithfulness to His advantage to help us go forward. Never underestimate just the daily routine that you have. The Lord can use it and help people come to the Lord. Now, sometimes there are people that the Lord has been preparing, and He's preparing them to do something, and he may use you to say something that they need that will unlock the destiny that the enemy tried to capture through deception. But in other words, every opportunity we have, whatever He'd give you to do, do it. Because these are the last days, and the Lord can do a quick work. He's going to cut it short in righteousness. It won't be a very long work, but it's going to be a quick work because the time is at hand. And I thank the Lord for it. Now, the Lord put something on my heart the other day concerning Revelation. The seven spirits of the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit. And the seven manifestations that we cover, we talk about sometime. The Lord wanted me to show how the seven spirits operate in how they, by the seven spirits, Jesus gave the church different instructions. And two of the churches He didn't have to rebuke. But what He gave me to do was point out the different the distinction of, you know, the distinguished manifestations of the seven spirits in what Jesus told the seven churches. All right. Now, previously, we got down to where we talked about the kings and the priests. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And we made it to around 7 or 8, but I'm going to start at verse 5. Well, let me start at verse 4. That'll be even better. Revelation 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the priests and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. When the Lord comes back and return, it doesn't matter who they are, what religion they were, how they were taught, they're going to see Him, and they're going to know who He is. Isaiah, you know, the early books of Isaiah said they're going to cast their idols to the bats. You know, they're going to find hiding places to stash their idolatry and act like they had nothing to do with that mess. But the Lord is looking for people that are cast their idols to the bats right now. They are the ones that will live. But when He comes back, it's too late. It's too late. If you're not on His side when He comes back, it's too late for you. Because You will see him, and you'll know you were caught off. You know, a person, people are going to be caught off guard, and they'll die in their sins, just like a person that dies without a savior. And when you've heard the word and still continue in wrong, and when you die, you'll know that you wasted every opportunity you had, and that doesn't need to happen. Okay, verse 8, continuing. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now, each of these churches represents seven periods of time. Now, I know this because there was another man of God. He used to be on the Christian Jew Hour, Charles Hell. I thank God for him. He had Jewish insight. And sometimes, you know, he was a man that loved God. He was a Jew. He got ousted from his family when he became a Christian. And they hated him. And his own family disinherited him, and he didn't have an inheritance, and they basically just booted him out of the family. But he still had a Jewish heritage. And he said that the seven churches represents different time periods. Now, what he did on the radio in those days was in greater detail. Now, I'm going to do what God gives me to do. And but I know that each church, the first one, Ephesus, and then the second, Smyrna, the third one is Pergamos, the fourth one is Thyatira, the fifth one, Sardis, sixth one is Philadelphia, and the seventh is Laodicea. We're living in the days of Laodicean church. Now, they represent our time, okay? And we're going to get to that. Now, when the time began of Laodicea and when it ends with the rapture. That's the last one listed. So that's the one that'll be alive when the rapture comes. Now, it starts in the days of John, all right? Because he wrote to the Ephesian church first. All right, verse 12 says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with the golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were like white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. Now the same candlesticks that he saw is written about in Zechariah chapter 4, one of my favorite scripture sets. All right, verse 15. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. and have the keys of hell and of death, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and in the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Unto the angel of the Lord of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And remember, the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches, or those who started the seven churches, and in many cases, the pastor of the seven churches. Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Now he's talking to the church at Ephesus, because he said unto the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. You know, they, in verse 3 says, they borne, they had patience. When they didn't know what to do, just like we said in the previous broadcast, they remained faithful. Patience is a waiting faith. Just like with Job, when things went wrong and they didn't know what to do, or they were in a state of waiting, they were patient. He said, thou hast borne and hast patience, as for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left your first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, look at the counsel of the Lord. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. At first, he honored them. He showed them what they did have, because he wanted them to work with it. And he showed them where they were lacking. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left your first love. Here, the fear of the Lord would rise up in a person when he say that. That's part of the mission of the Holy Spirit, to bring us back to the fear of the Lord. But he does it through his love. He told them the truth so they could work on it. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Now, this is the counsel. The Holy Spirit is counseling them. The first part, he said to the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He identified himself, the Spirit of the Lord. That was the first manifestation, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Then he said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. This is the spirit of knowledge. Verse 3 says, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. This also is knowledge. That's the spirit of knowledge. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, and that's also knowledge, and also the fear of the Lord. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to thee and quickly remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now this is a word of wisdom and counsel, because it's wisdom because he told him to do something. He told him what to do, and counsel because he suggested to them what to do. And they're going to do it by their love. That's the first problem. They left their love. And then now they have the fear of the Lord, and they should get it back. Their counsel is to go back to your first love and do the very first works. He said, remember thou fall from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now here's the spirit of might in verse 6. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This is the spirit of might. They left their first love, but they didn't leave their conviction. And the Lord pointed out this. In verse 7, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is the promise to look forward to. Now, I want to take a moment and take another look at the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't go wrong following God. He's good. He loves us. And he's there for us to help us and guide us. And he's not lazy. He enjoys it. He loves to help us. And he's our blessing. And through him, we live, move, and have our being. I thank God for all these wonderful promises. Now, Isaiah 11, if I can get to it. My favorite scriptures are the scriptures about the Holy Spirit and the redemption of Jesus Christ. You know, in that, every time I think about what the Lord has done for me, things I couldn't do for myself, I just love him all over again. And then, by the Holy Spirit, I can win. When I was a child, I didn't like what was evil. And I wanted to know I could defeat what was evil. All right, and through the Holy Spirit and his guidance and wisdom, we can do these things. Now let's look at Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him, now watch what happens. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. See, it's so much, the enemy will put a mask on and speak to you. If he lied to you looking like he does, you wouldn't listen to him. But if it's your spouse, if he can activate your spouse, what he actually did, he's got your spouse speaking his words, or your daughter, or your friend, or your boss. He can speak his words to you through others, through their influence. It's just like he put a mask on and started speaking. Now, the only way you can detect the words of darkness, the words that originate from Satan, is to love the Word of God. When you have a strong foundation in the Word of God, anybody who speak to you amiss and teach lies and teach error or suggest that you do something that's not according to the Word of God, you can detect it by the Word of God. And you have to understand, if you're going to go forward in the Lord, that the enemy has no problem with putting a mask on to talk to you. But Jesus, you know, the media, If they don't like a candidate, they find something against them and try to poison people's mind against that person. You know, and it happens. This is the most fierce. These are the most fierce elections I ever seen in my life. It's gotten much worse. It was always bad. You know, people slander people like they have no soul. And I don't agree with that. If I was campaigning, I wouldn't slander people. The person that may win, we may have to all pray for that person. And I'm not going to dig up dirt on people because God don't do it. If God don't do it, why should we? The Lord, if a person believe on Jesus and they ask the Lord to save them, the Lord don't throw that past in their face like the media does and like people do of this day. But look at what it says. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now watch verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He doesn't look at things like men do, after the hearing of their ears, seeing of the eyes. He does righteous judgment. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. He'll say something to help us. And he's mighty. He's going to do these things. These are the seven spirits of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is resting on Jesus. Jesus is in is glorified now. And he's conducting a vision that John has. He's showing John this vision and relaying things that John must write. Now, we covered some of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, because the same way he's talking to them, he's talking to us. Now, this word will help us align ourselves. You can align yourself with what Jesus said to the seven churches. If you see anything that you're not doing, then you see the guideline here. He said, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience. So if we lack somewhere in that, just gain somewhere in those things. And it even say, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. So they were able to detect and discern the liars and those that were false. Then it says, and has found them liars, and is born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So he's guiding them back to love. In the duty of the word, you're doing what God said do. If you have to take time to keep your love alive. Remember, if your focus changes, your direction changes. There was so much evil coming against this church. They had so much to deal with that they walked. The distractions of Satan caused them to look away from the love of God a little bit. Because they left their first love, verse 4. In this chapter, in this segment of chapter 2, Jesus is showing them what they had right, how to maintain what they had right, and take back what they lost. He gave them a word of knowledge. He gave them wisdom. He gave them counsel. See, counsel shows you different sides of a thing. When the Lord, if he tell you, he don't just tell us what to do. But counsel shows us how to get back on track. Wisdom shows us what's in our best interest. And counsel shows us the whole picture. And knowledge shows us what happened already. Because in order for there to be knowledge has to be the past. I asked the Lord once about wisdom, and I wrote about this in a word that God gave me called definitions. And this word was over a 25 or 30 year period of time, these definitions came to me, and it's on the Living Letters page. But wisdom, he said, I asked him, what was the definition for wisdom? He said, wisdom is the trust of truth. And I asked him, what was knowledge? See, wisdom is first. You gain wisdom by trusting the truth. And knowledge is the experience of wisdom. See, wisdom comes to you first. The word of God is spoken. You believe it. You trust it. You know, and the day you eat that off the tree, you should surely die. If Adam would have, you know, Adam didn't have, he didn't experience dying yet. But he had wisdom against it. Because the Lord said, you shall surely die if you eat off this fruit. You shall surely die. Well, he didn't trust what God said, and he ate off of it. Then his eyes were open, and now he knows that you die if you eat off that stupid tree. So now we have to apply the same rule in other things. If the Lord tell you to do something, you do it. If you obey the Lord, you're going to find it to be true and certain. And now it's knowledge. All right. So he's telling us, see, we're included in this because he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He's not just talking to Ephesus. He's talking to you. Verse 7 includes us. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is our wisdom. And also, this is our counsel, because we have a picture. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And that's the promise. See, counsel gives you a word picture. It's a picture. Wisdom is a thought. He's telling you what to change, how to do it. Knowledge is what happened already. All right. And this is how the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit work. And next time we're going to get to the church at Smyrna. You know, we're going to do one and take our time and do this assignment. You know, God is good. And I thank God for every assignment that he gives. I thank him for how he moves in our lives. And there's so much ground to cover. And the Lord has so much that he wants to do in our lives. We are very precious in the sight of God. And he's going to help us go forward. We're going to learn things we never thought we'd learn before. And as we go forward doing the work of God, we're going to find out how true his word really is. And I thank the Lord for it. Now, before his return, we have time to do a mighty work. We must capture the time. We must utilize the time that he's given us so that we can go forward. We must train in the Spirit of God so that we can do the mightier works of God. If we go forward doing his work, doing his will, we're going to see what can really be done in our lives. The things that the Lord is about to do now, in many ways, we haven't seen it yet. I often wonder what I knew that there would be a great revival, a great outpouring. I just didn't know what it would look like. At this point, I'm not sure you'll see it like you may expect it. I'm not sure that it will be something that everybody will be able to point at. I think this time it's going to be more, it's going to be small works working together. That's just what I suspect. The Lord told me some things about this revival that he's doing right now. He said it would change the economy. So people are going to, if people change in their heart, they start agreeing with the Lord and doing things the right way, and they're changing in their heart. In their heart, they're restructuring their lives. See, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And when that's the case, the way you spend money will change. People who would buy cars to keep up with the Joneses don't have that pressure. People who used to drink, they'll stop drinking and they'll start spending their money on things that glorify God. Books will be bought. People will give to the poor. A lot of things are going to change. People are going to spend their money differently because they're focused on the Lord. And anytime your focus changes, so does your direction. But this thing is, people are going to start believing on the Lord from the heart. They're going to fall in love with Him, and they're going to live the life. And through them, the Lord will help them to reap the harvest. So I really don't know how it's going to look, but I know it's happening now. And I know His return is soon. And the work is going to be cut short. Now, those are the facts that I have so far. And as God give me more, I'll give you more. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.